Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Fan Worship Center's podcast number 135 for August 8, 2010. In this podcast, Pastor Archie will be sharing his message titled, Let's Go Up at Once and Possess It. Enjoy.
Word of God, I would like to visit an amazing story of unbelief and faith in the Old Testament. And we find it in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. If you have your Bibles with you, I should not ask that question if you should have your Bibles with you. It's expected that you have your Bibles with you. Amen? Because a Christian without a Bible and doesn't bring it to church is like a soldier who doesn't bring his rifle to war. Because this is, the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. All right. You got it on my, okay. Starting with, I'm going to be referring to a lot of scriptures today, so keep your Bibles open. But we're going to start reading from chapter 13, starting with verse 1 to verse 3, then verse 25 to the end of the chapter. All right, Numbers chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, every one of the ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. In verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land, and whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But a man that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that your word, Lord, will just minister to each and every one of us, oh Father. Penetrate our hearts. Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak to your people today. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would oh God, deal with our unbelief, oh God. And I pray that you would quicken the faith, oh God, that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit, so that, Lord, we can live a life of victory, a life, oh God, in the Spirit. So, Lord, now we ask your blessing upon your people. Anoint your people to hear, and anoint your servant, Lord, to speak what you want me to speak. In the name of Jesus, and everybody says, Amen. Amen. I would like to title this message from verse 30. which says, Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up once and possess it. Let us go up once and possess it. Now, let me tell you a little background of this story here, or this incident. Israel, a young nation, had just come out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God. God opened up the Red Sea for them, and He guided them with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. There were about 2 to 3 million people who were delivered out of Egypt, and they just came from Mount Sinai. They spent about a year in Mount Sinai. And in Mount Sinai, they received the law, the Ten Commandments. And now God says, it's time to move on. Amen. It's time to move on. And so they move on, and they are now in the Kadesh Barnea, at the end of the Promised Land, ready to go in. Now, Kadesh Barnea was only a desert oasis, but it was the crossroad in the history of Israel, because here they have to make a decision whether to go forward in faith and victory to possess the land, or to retreat and defeat. Some of us may be in that place of decision right now. You're asking yourselves, am I going on with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, or I just gonna lay back or stay in defeat? They were so close, yet they were not able to make it. They were in touch, yet far away. Unfortunately, the tragedy is that this generation of people chose to retreat. And because of that, they were condemned for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And that's what unbelief does in your life. A whole generation would die in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And if you're unbelieving today, that's what will happen to you. You're going to waste your life. You're going to die in your wilderness. And there are many people like that, many of them unbelievers. You have witnessed to them, and you tried your best to minister the love of God, to bring them to that place of salvation. But like King Agrippa, which the Bible says, he said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. There are some people who have heard the gospel and they're almost persuaded, isn't it? But they are not willing to make the total commitment. Because why? Because they love the world so much with all the allurements of the world. And they were not willing to pay the price to become a committed Christian. Or they do not want to face the rejection, the persecution of being identified with Christ. Or as unbelievers, sometimes we do the same thing. And we trust God to handle the smaller things, but without His ability to take care of the big problems or the difficult situations. And we fail to trust God all the way through. My message to your brothers is that is, do not stop trusting the Lord. Amen. Amen? Because soon you will be able to reach your goal. If He has brought you this far in this life, why would He let you down now when you are ready to enter your promised land, that place of blessing and that place of victory? And some of us may be in that juncture in our life. Kadesh Barnea is a crossroad in your life. You may be filled with fear and unbelief. And this nation of Israel is an example for us to learn from. Whether we go back in defeat or we walk by faith, trusting the Almighty God. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "These things happened to them as in examples, and were written down as a warning for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come." Now, if there's three lessons that we could learn from the juncture or this place called Kadesh Barnea, there are three things that I would like to mention. First, God can only take us as far as you are willing to trust Him. God can only take you where you are willing to trust Him. Secondly, disobedience brings discipline. Take note of that. Disobedience brings discipline. And thirdly, He allows wilderness experiences in our lives before the promised land because He wants to test us. And at the same time, He wants to prepare us. He wants to test your faith, whether you're going to go on serving the Lord. And of course, He wants to prepare you. He wants to mature you. He wants to strengthen you and make you grow. Because in the promised land, you're going to face giants. You're going to face problems. You're going to face impossible situations. Now, apparently, the sending of the spies was not in the mind of God. But the people came and asked Moses to scout the land for them. So the Lord instructed Moses to select 12 people, 12 leaders from each tribe of the nation of Israel. And we see here the permissive and the perfect will of God. God sometimes permit us to do things, although it's not in His perfect will for us. Amen? Now, sending the spies was already, I believe, unnecessary because God already spied the land for them. God said, "It's a good land." He said, "Just go up and take possession of it. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." In other words, the nation or the people of Israel were walking not by faith, but by sight. They were walking not by divine revelation. Now, there are four main points that I would like to share with you this morning. Number one, the eye and the language of faith. Number two, the eye and the language of unbelief. Number two, the eye and the language of faith. Number three, the consequences of unbelief. And number four, the reward of faith. Are you with me? All right. Let's look at the eye and the language of unbelief. Now, what are the characteristics of unbelief? What does unbelief see? Well, if you look at these verses that we have read, the word "saw" appears three times in these passages, in verse 28, verse 32, and verse 33. Now, the eye of unbelief, what does it see? It sees only the circumstances, the bigness of the problem, the impossibilities. Unbelief goes by what it sees. It goes by a sight. On the other hand, faith does not go by what it sees, but faith sees beyond. Amen? Beyond the problems, beyond the impossibilities, and is controlled by the Word of God. That's why the Bible says, as believers, we should walk by faith and not by sight. Now, what did the 10 spies see? Verse 28 says, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." What did they see? They saw that the walls were so large and tall. You know, scholars say that the walls of Jericho were 20 feet wide, which means three chariots could run, you know, side by side to each other, with each other. And they were 25 feet tall. It's amazing how when God told the people of Israel to shout, the walls of Jericho fall down. See that? So but they saw the big walls, they saw the children of Anak, or Anak ng Batak. All right? And what did they see? They saw giants. You know, those giants were 7 to 9 feet tall. You know how tall was Goliath was? 9.5 feet. You know that? Even the tallest basketball players that we have today, they're only as tall as what, 7.5? These were giants. And that's what they saw. They saw giants. Now look at verse 31 to 33. It says, but the men who had gone up with him, these 10 spies, they said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom they saw are men of great stature. They were big people, it says it. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. They only saw the impossibilities, the difficulties. They saw that the problems got bigger instead of smaller. And to themselves, they were like just grasshoppers. Do you have the grasshopper faith? Huh? Where you just look at yourself as small in the eyes of people. That's what the exaggeration of unbelief is. This says, in our sight, we were like grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. How did they come to that conclusion? I don't know. But that is what unbelief sees. And unbelief sees the impossibilities. That's why in our relationship, in our families, what do we see when we have a husband who is not doing his job? And we say, it's hopeless. Or you see a wife that is unfaithful and you say, it's hopeless. Or you see a child that is going astray, a son or daughter, on drugs, and you say, it's hopeless. Is that what you see? You say, Pastor Archie, it's hard to raise up children these days. That's true. I have had 4 kids, 4 teenagers, that caused my hair to grow white. Yes, it is true, but the Bible says you can overcome the world because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Unbelief only sees problems and poverties and want. You say to yourself, I cannot pay my bills. There's nothing to eat. See, unbelief only sees giants and difficulties in every place. You know the language of unbelief? Hopeless, impossible. They usually go together. Or in other words, we say that it is not you trying, right? It's too late. Jesus did not say that about Lazarus. Remember what Martha said to Jesus when Jesus went to Bethany? And Martha said to Jesus, Jesus, he has been dead 4 days and by this time he stinks. It's nothing impossible with the Lord. You see, unbelief is spirit. The devil will try to let you see only the negative things. Right? It's a spirit, and we have to fight against it. Amen. We have to fight against it. The devil will let you forget the goodness of God. He will let you forget about the grace of God, the love and the greatness of God. That's what happened to the Israelites. They forget about the mighty power of God, the miracles that God performed in Egypt. They forget about how God opened up the Red Sea and destroyed the Egyptian army. Yes, their enemies were strong. They were giants. But these giants can never match the might and the power of Almighty God. Amen. You may be facing a Goliath right now, but David, have the spirit of David. And the more you look at Goliath, he becomes smaller to you because behind Goliath is a mighty God. Amen. When Sarah was 90 years old, he was dried up. Have you ever heard of a woman 90 years old having a child? He was dried up, wrinkled up, right? No more hormone. Her ovaries have shrunk. And she laughed when God said to Abraham, "This time next year you will have a son." She heard it, and God said, "Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything hard for the Lord?" So what are you saying this morning, brothers and sisters? What are you focusing your eyes on? Are you focusing on problems or solutions? Are you seeing sickness or health? Are you seeing failure or sickness or success? Are you seeing poverty or supply for every need? Whatever your problems are, your mountains are, your enemies, there are no match to the grace and the power of the Lord God Almighty. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Hallelujah. And he says again in Psalms 37, verse 25, "I was young and now I am old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." Hallelujah. That's what God will do for you because you belong to the child of God. He will not forget you. He may send the ravens to feed you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
It's if that you don't believe it. I don't know if I should say this again. You may have heard of it about my testimony. Many years ago when my kids were going college, Ruth. And the Lord was touching our hearts to become ministers, pastors. And I said, "Lord, how can I support my kids?" My oldest going to college. So I was crying to the Lord. And you know what? From unknown or mysterious source, the Lord sent me a patient. Who gave me an inheritance. Huh? Hallelujah! I did never expect it. I thought this guy was an old guy, been taking care of him for 5 years. He came to the emergency room when I was on call in one of the hospitals. He was a veteran from World War II in the Philippines. He was a Czechoslovakian, but he was born here. He has no family. His mother died, never been married. As distant relatives, he had never seen for 30 years. But he had money in the bank. He had stocks. He had stocks and whatever. And when he told me, he came to me, he said, I want you to take care of me. The rest of my life. And I asked him, "Do you have any finances or anything?" Actually, I did not ask that. He brought his bank accounts into the clinic. He brought his bank accounts. And he showed him the bank account and said, I want you to take care of me the rest of my life. So to make this story short, I had a lawyer, Christian lawyer, all this power of attorney sort of thing. So for 5 years, I helped him manage his accounts. He was in nursing home for 5 years, and after that he died. And I buried him in one of the cemeteries in Chicago. But I never expected that God would supply. Amen. Amen. And he could do the same for all of us. As David said, I have been young and now I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. It's a little testimony, but I feel like I have to share it. Because if you believe in God, He will never forsake you. That's why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Paul asked the question in Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Of course, you know the answer. Nobody can be against you if God is with you. Amen? Secondly, what is the effect of unbelief? Unbelief leads to fear. Look at what they said. He said in verse 31, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought an evil report of the land. Suddenly they changed the report about the land from a land flowing with milk and honey to a land that devours its inhabitants. King Saul lost his kingdom because of fear and unbelief. But praise God, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Now thirdly, unbelief is contagious. Now let's look at Numbers 14, verse 1 to 3. Gonna be looking at these people here with their unbelief. Numbers 14, 1 to 3 says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the people, all the children of Israel, complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land that to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victim? See, the whole congregation. Just 10 spies. Remember, 10 spies. They give an evil report. Now the whole 2 million people complain against Moses, against Aaron, and against God. That's why unbelief and fear is contagious. That's a lesson for us. And people and leadership should always expect that. That people will criticize you because they are people of unbelief. Amen. Have you noticed that people who are busy in the ministry don't have time to criticize people? But those who are in the sidelines just watching, doing nothing, and they point fingers and they say, I could do better than them. Fourthly, unbelief leads to disobedience and rebellion. They said in verse 4, would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. They said, we're not going. Moses, we're not going. We will get another leader. We are returning to Egypt. And the Bible says the whole congregation thought of stoning them. Remember that? Only the grace of God, only the intervention of God prevented their disobedience, rebellion. Because it says here, then the glory of the Lord appeared to the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. So God is saying, you cannot touch my servants. And what happens? What are the consequences of unbelief? Look at verse 11, chapter 14, verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me? Oh, with all the signs which I perform among them, I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. I will make all of you, I'll make you a nation greater and mightier than they. Of course, Moses, praise God for Moses. When he was attacked, what did he do? He always prayed. He always interceded for his people. Read that verses from 20 to 24, how he interceded for the nation, for the people. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and have put me to the test. Now these 10 times have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore their elders. Nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Verse 28 to 35, say to them, as I live, saith the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old up and above, except for Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall have by no means entered the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcass shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness, according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. And of course, in summary, God was saying they could not see the promised land. All of thy in the wilderness, wasted, languished, all of those 20 years old and above who murmured against the Lord, and their judgment was 1 year for 1 day. So they spied for 40 days, they wasted in the wilderness for 40 years. And of course, the 10 spies who gave an evil report died on the spot. The Bible says, God sent a plague. And we often say this thing, there is a price in serving the Lord. Yes, there's price in serving the Lord. You must be willing to pay the price. But my message is this. There is a greater price in disobeying the Lord. You know that? There is a great price in disobedience. That's what happened to these people. They wasted. They died in the wilderness. They were not able to enter their promised land. And there are some people like that. There are Christians like that. They are languishing in fear and unbelief. And they will not enter their inheritance, their blessing, because of their unbelief and fear. But praise God, there's another alternative. Amen? And that is faith. That is faith. So what is the eye and the language of faith? As exemplified by Caleb and Joshua. First of all, I would like to say this about faith. Faith does not come by accident. It's a gift of God. The Bible says God has given every one of us a measure of faith. For by the grace of God, we are saved, the Bible says, through faith. It's a gift of God, lest no man should boast. And secondly, thing about faith is that God uses men and women of faith. God can use you and me in response to God with our faith. That's why my prayer is, Lord, give us men and women of faith. Amen. And thirdly, faith comes from believing the Word of God, because that's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let's look at the eye of faith. Faith sees beyond the circumstances. Faith is always optimistic. Caleb and Joshua saw a good land flowing with milk and honey. They saw beyond the giants and the walled cities. They saw victories, not difficulties. They saw solutions, not the problems. They saw possibility because they saw God. Amen. Look what they said in Numbers 14:16-9. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us." Amen. They were saying that even the city of Jericho was walled, and the walls were high, and the people there were giants. They were saying, if God is with us, who can be against us? He said, the people of the land are our bread. What is he talking about here? Then Ivan says, we will swallow them. You remember what the tennis spy said, the land in which we are going will devour the people. Now they're saying, we will devour the people. They will become hamburger meat for us. That's what they're saying. Their protection has departed from them. So what do you see in your family? What do you see in the life of your children? What do you see in your wife, in your husband? Do you say, oh, my husband is no good for nothing? Huh? My wife is no good for nothing. I'll divorce that husband. Or you see somebody, a husband who is saved, serving the Lord. Amen. Or a wife who is serving the Lord. Or children who loves God and serving the Lord. So what do you see in your life? Are you seeing problems or solutions? Do you have the eye of faith or the eye of unbelief? Of course, in faith family, we have problems here. How many people are we? 60, 80 maybe? 80 problems. I'm one of them. But we don't see problems here. We see people who love the Lord. Amen? We have problems in nursery right now. You don't have a place for the kids. So we pray that the Lord will provide us a better place, or we can remodel nursery. But we don't focus on the problems. We focus on people. Amen? Who are souls who are saved. Praise the Lord. That's the eye of faith. Faith sees beyond the problems. And faith sees God in the problems. And what is the language of faith? Then Caleb, verse 29, 13, 20, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession. We are able to overcome it." That's what says faith says. We are able because God is able. We are able because God is able. The reason Caleb would say that's because he had experienced it in the might of God. He has seen the mighty power of God displayed in Egypt. He knew God's word. And he knew that God is faithful. The ever unchanging God. If he was faithful to Moses, if he was faithful to Joshua, if he was faithful to Elijah, if he was faithful to Peter and John and Paul, he is faithful to you because God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's truth is not subject to majority opinion. You know that? Daniel 11:32 says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits." The people who know their God shall be strong and shall carry on great exploits. And the book of Proverbs says, "The righteous are bold like a lion." Are you bold? Don't be bold in condemning, all right? Or criticizing. Be bold in lifting up, encouraging people. Be bold in ministry. Amen. That's what Paul says about the ministry that God has called them to do. Now that we are not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. God who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not the letter, but of the Spirit. So Caleb and Joshua were saying, yes, there are giants. The people are strong. They are tall. Yes, the cities are walled, but our God is greater. Amen. The people will become bread for us. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord will destroy them. Therefore, victory is ours. And that's the type of faith that God is looking from His people. Violent faith, persistent faith, a faith that does not accept no for an answer. Amen. Despite all of the obstacles. That's why Jesus said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Amen. That's what faith sees. And that's the language of faith. But there's another characteristic of faith. Faith acts. What did Caleb says? "Let us go up at once to possess it." Faith is not faith until you act upon it. If faith acts now, even though the reward will be later. That's what the Bible says. Now is the day of salvation. So faith acts now. Faith is persistent. Never give up. Never accept no as an answer. You remember Bartimaeus? The Bible says that Jesus was passing through Jericho. And he was going to Jerusalem. He was passing through Jericho. And the Bible says there was a Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, who was sitting at the roadside begging. And he heard about Jesus that he was passing by. And he began to cry, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He could have said, "It's too late now." Jesus leaving town. Next time when he comes back, I will ask for my healing. He could have said that. And the people discouraged him. The people said, shut up. You better keep quiet. But the more I told him to keep quiet, he shouted the more. That's what the Bible says. He shouted the more. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Now, if you look at Luke's version in chapter 18 of Luke, and compare this version in Mark chapter 10, it says in Luke that that Jesus was coming near Jericho. Now, it says in Mark that Jesus was coming out of Jericho. Now, which one is right? I believe both Mark and Luke were saying the same thing. So what I believe happens is that from the time that Jesus was coming to Jericho and the time he was coming out of Jericho, Bartimaeus was crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. That's why the people got tired of hearing that and said, shut up. See how persistent is his faith? That's what the faith that God is calling, want us to see in our hearts. And that's why the Bible says Jesus stood still and he called up Bartimaeus. And of course, Bartimaeus got healed during that day because his faith was a persistent faith and it's a now faith. So what are you seeing today, brothers and sisters? What are you seeing today? What is your confession today? I would be lying if I said to you, I never have doubts and fears. All of us go through doubts and fears. It's normal in the Christian life. But we should not stay there, right? What if I fail? What if I got sick and will not make it? All of this. But you know what? I would rather fail trying than having not tried at all. As somebody said, like Peter, I'd rather sink and have walked on water rather than being comfortable in the boat. See that? And Jesus promised that our life will not be easy on this earth. Actually, he said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he's saying here to us, you'll have problems, but be of good cheer, because I will be with you in your problems. Amen? I'll be with you in your problems. What is the reward of faith? Well, praise God, the Bible says that in the book of Deuteronomy, 34 verse 9, about Joshua, he said, now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him, as did as the Lord has commanded Moses. So he took the place of Moses in leading the people to the promised land. Joshua was the faithful assistant and aide of Moses for many years. And now it's time for Moses to die. And now Joshua took over the leadership. See, that's what happens to you when you remain faithful to the Lord. The Lord will promote you. Amen. The Lord will promote you to that position of leadership and blessing. Well, what happened to Caleb? Now turn to your Bibles in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 13. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 13. And let me read to you what happened to Caleb. No wonder Caleb is one of the heroes of the faith. It says here in Joshua chapter 14, starting with verse 6, Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet, I am as strong this day and the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then. So now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke in that day." You know what? He was 85 years old. He was 40 years old when Moses called him to spy the land. Now he's 85 years old. And what he's saying to Joshua, "Joshua, I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago. Give me this mountain." At 85 years old, many of us would have retired. Right? Would have retired, but Joshua, 45 years old, he says, "I'm strong today as I was 45 years ago when I was 40 years old. Give me another job. Give me this mountain. I will conquer this mountain." That's what he said. "For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. He inherited Hebron. And if you look at the history of Caleb, he became a what? He was the descendant, not descendant, but the old grandfather of David. And of course, through David came Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the reward of faith, brothers and sisters. Amen. The reward of faith. So it pays to be faithful and be persistent in our faith. It pays to be faithful in serving God. So Lord, what is our prayer today for all of us? I think we should pray, "Lord, I want to be like Joshua. I like to be like Caleb, who are faithful." And God grants our prayer to be faithful unto Him. We don't want to waste our lives wasted, languishing in unbelief, like what happened to the nation of Israel for 40 years. They languished and they lost their lives in the wilderness. We don't remember their names. We don't remember the names of those 10 spies who gave an evil report. But today, we remember the names of Joshua and Caleb. And you see that names every time among Christian people. They want to name their sons what? Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they were heroes of faith. They were men who stood against unbelief because God was with them, and they saw not problems, not difficulties, but they saw possibilities, solutions, victories, and that should be our desire. Amen. Shall we stand up as we close? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. You want to be a man of faith? Do you want to be a woman of faith? All of us should be a man of faith. Should be a woman of faith. Amen. As we pursue the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our strength. Hallelujah. It takes commitment. It takes a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled, Let's Go Up at Once and Possess It. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-3392. And you can find our information online at ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.